For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, Heat Nation? Welcome back into Believe in Miami Heat Instant Reaction Podcast, Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Another tough one for the Heat. They fall 124-114, but there are some interesting takeaways from at least the second half of the game that we're going to dive right into. But before we get into it, I'm joined today by Zach Duarte from 790 The Ticket down here in Miami. Zach, thanks for joining me, dude.
No problem. Good to talk some NBA. And, you know, even though it's not going our way, man, we're talking basketball in October, so, and it's not preseason basketball.
Right, so. I know. It's great. And I was, you know, everyone was so down after game one, but I was still pumped for tonight. Like, I was still pumped for this game. And I'll tell you what, there's obviously, when you're a Heat fan and this series is going the way it's going, it's the NBA Finals, there's no moral victories, right?
Right.
But the second half of game two, if you're looking for anything as a Heat, if you're the Heat or a Heat fan, you got to kind of look at that second half and say, if we can just defensive rebound, the series might be 1-1 right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that about a lot. You know, I don't know. Do you get this feeling like you're kind of just watching the Lakers just haphazardly go out there and play basketball? I don't know. I didn't watch Lakers basketball this year, and I'm not trying to, you know, poo-poo on what you're saying, because I agree with you. You're right. You would look at the box score and you say, if you could just stop the other team from, you know, getting, what, 20 offensive rebounds or whatever it was, 16, I think it was, that you should win this game. But, I mean, like, LeBron hasn't had to really get engaged. Like, that was a really easy 33 points for LeBron James. But, you know, I get what you're saying. And I'm not feeling pessimistic just yet. I feel like, hey, maybe you get Bam Adebayo back in here. I don't know what the heck's going on with Goran Dragic, but, you know, it's one of these things where I still feel okay about the series. If he go down 3-0, obviously it's over, but it is what it is at this point.
Sure, and I think the thing where I look at the moral victory is this. It's like we talked about the offensive rebounding, particularly in the second half, right? 12 offensive rebounds for 13 second chance points in the second half. You lose by 10. Obviously, there's the two Kelly Olynyk garbage time buckets. But even then, let's say he doesn't get those. You lose by 14 and you give up 13 second chance points in the second half. So if you look ahead, you know, in the pregame, Woj said the Heat hoping to potentially have Bam and Goran back for Sunday. I would anticipate, you know, just based off the injuries, there's a lot more likelihood of Bam being back on Sunday than Goran. Right. And if you get Bam back, you know, maybe again, I look at these games where 14 points, 10 points, if you can keep it within 5 points at the end of a game, which you cut out some of those second chance points, you have a shot to shoot yourself back in the game. And the Heat are a good 3-point shooting team. You obviously, it crushes you not having Bam. But and the other thing is the Heat just, it's almost like when they play the zone, they forget that you're going to have long rebounds. They forget how to rebound when they're playing the zone. It's just, you got to, they're kind of ball watching. They know that they're going to be giving up a lot of 3-point shots, which is another thing to discuss. But they need to just be more engaged when they're in the zone, because the zone can work. And in stretches, it does work. But they weren't totally engaged. It wasn't active as much as I would have liked to see it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, long rebounds, Anthony Davis down low, just, you know, boxing out Kelly Olynyk. It's just, I don't know if you remember that LeBron rebound, I don't know, with 4 minutes to go, where there's four Heat players right around him on the baseline. It's like, come on, man, somebody body up somebody down here. It's, it's tough, man, because at some point you just have to look at the other team and say, hey, man, maybe this is just a better roster. But the thing is, you've done that now. I would say the last two series, you've gone up and down the roster and said, yeah, the other team is better. But Miami has done things schematically, defensively, coaching with Eric Spoelstra, leadership with Jimmy Butler, in order to prevail in those series. And at this point, you're talking about arguably the best player ever, and the either best or second best player in his prime right now, which is Anthony Davis, both playing together. I mean, there's only so much you're going to be able to do. But yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, you're going to get Bam Adebayo back for game three. Goran, I have no idea. The Heat are so secretive with these things, and they don't really leak any information out. I would say if I was the Heat, right, knowing that type of injury and the type of player that Goran is, in order to be successful, having to stop on a dime, cut, you know, play off the pick and roll at the top of the key, it just doesn't – it's to me, it doesn't feel like Goran's coming back earliest game five, because you have that three-day layoff between game four and game five. I mean, I don't know. They could shoot him up with some kind of painkiller, I'm sure, but he's still not going to be the same type of effective player out there if he can't cut and move laterally like he does. So, you know, this is a very tough matchup. Miami had to do everything right to win it at the beginning of the series. Sure. And now they have to do everything even better with, you know, less talented players, unfortunately. I'm not trying to be, you know, rude to any of the other guys, but it's just the truth of the situation, and it's a harsh reality right now for Miami Heat fans.
Yeah, and it's not – I mean, it's not – you're not saying anything that people don't know. I mean, LeBron and AD are – they're two top five – I mean, LeBron's the best player ever. AD's a top five player who right now looks like a top two or three player the way he's been playing in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, I think Heat fans realize, like, look, you know, we've – done it as a team, and it's been that type of thing. So based on, you know, and I think to the point with Goran, you know, one of the guys I wanted to talk about, if Goran comes back, even if he gets his foot shot up and he's 70%, I'm not sure he's going to be much better than what Kendrick Nunn is providing off the bench right now, because he looks really good. I mean, it's surprising because the second half of the season, he really didn't look great, but he looks like he's just sort of ready for the moment and come off the bench. I mean, he had 13 tonight. He had that huge block on AD. He's got energy, and he does provide a little bit. He's not Goran, and he's definitely not what Goran has been in the playoffs, but he provides that dribble penetration that you miss without Goran off the bench, coming off the bench. So, yeah, I mean, I think if Goran's not 100% or even, you know, 85 to 90%, you probably just want to roll. And Tyler Hero got going a little bit in the second half. You probably just want to go roll with the guys you have. The more important thing is Bam.
Yeah, but you know, what's the other thing too, is like, you're watching these first two games, and I'm wondering, like, am I the only person wondering this? Is like, I don't think you can play Duncan Robinson anymore.
No, like, I agree.
If he's not giving you anything offensively, which all he can do really is shoot threes, and I think he's made one or two, and both of them were in the second half of this game.
Yep.
He is such a defensive liability, and all the Lakers are looking to do is, you know, identify who's being guarded by either Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson, get them to set the screen, and then you know, get to switch defensively. And then it's just LeBron against Tyler Hero or LeBron against Duncan Robinson, which is 11 out of 10 times a basket for LeBron James. So, I mean, look, I don't know. I'm not the X's and O's guy. That's a Spo question. But if he's not giving you points, those are hollow minutes. And then he's a defensive liability. It's been a rough series, man. Mm-hmm. You know, Kendrick Nunn, yeah, he's been a nice little, I guess, story, because you're looking for any type of positivity in these last two games. And it's good to see Kendrick Nunn being the scorer that he was, like you said, the first half of the season. But I don't think Kendrick Nunn makes other guys better offensively like Goran Dragic. And again, you might be right. A 70 to 80% Goran Dragic is not better than Kendrick Nunn. You might be right. But if it was me, I'd rather roll with Goran Dragic, the guy who's got me here, and the guy who's 34 or however old he is, got to his first NBA Finals and hurts himself in his first game. I mean, what a gut punch that is, right? Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I'd rather stick with Goron, but we're splitting hairs at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's a great point because just having him back might, you know, it brings energy just to the team, because I'm sure just as a squad, especially Jimmy, how close they are, just not having Goron out there. I would say either way, regardless of if Bam or Goron come back, I think both Kelly Olynyk and Kendrick Nunn have earned their way into playing more minutes the rest of the series just because of the offensive spark they provided. But yeah, the Duncan thing is just so weird to me. It's not weird. I mean, we know he's a defensive liability. And the weird thing is, after game one of the Celtics series, I literally said, you can't play Duncan in this series. And then he comes out and just plays great. So maybe he figures it out. But it's clear he's in the scouting report. They are, and this is a team, the Lakers, that they only allow teams to shoot 33 threes a game in the regular season. That's the second least in the NBA. Then the Heat did not shoot a lot of threes tonight. And they obviously knew what the Heat game plan was coming out tonight, which was, we don't have Bam. We don't have our best dribble penetration guy in Goron. We're going to shoot threes. And they didn't allow him to. Now, the Heat took advantage of how aggressive they were, and they got to the line 32 times or whatever the number ended up being. But, yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head to me. If they can't get Duncan his shots, and when he gets his shots, if he looks like he's sped up, like Jeff Van Gundy mentioned it during the game, he looks like he's forcing himself to get into a rhythm. I don't know if you don't bench him because you don't have enough players to not play him, but you probably play him a lot less minutes, particularly when you're giving up 124 points. If you're going to stick with the zone, you need guys who can defend and rebound.
Yeah, and I mean, how much longer do you stick with that too? Like, it's not working.
I know.
The Lakers have the players to manipulate the zone defense. I mean, you know, sometimes you saw Anthony Davis play the center role. I'm using air quotes there.
Sure.
The center of the zone, LeBron, AD. I mean, any of those guys can hit a free throw. You know, when it was Daniel Tice, it was great. But when it's Anthony Davis, it's
right.
Yeah, that's a 80% shot for Anthony Davis. So it's really, you know, pick your poison here. Like, how it almost, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of I think it was the 2016 NBA Finals when LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers got to the NBA Finals. Or maybe it was the 2015 finals. Kevin Love had already been hurt. Kyrie Irving gets hurt in game one. And it's LeBron James and the Matthew Dellavedovas against the Golden State Warriors. And that's what this feels like, because it feels like Jimmy Butler and the Kelly Olynyks, you know?
I felt that. I actually almost tweeted that before the game. Yeah, I said that exact example. I almost brought that up because it felt that way. And in that series, LeBron won game two and three basically by himself.
Right, and you know, Jimmy Butler, he's not LeBron James, but he's doing his best. He had a
great
really
game.
Nice game, great game today. I'd still like to see him more aggressive. You know, I need more than 17 shots from Jimmy Butler. He had, I think, two field goals made at halftime. I know he's got 13 assists. That's great. I need more points from Jimmy Butler. Like, you don't have your second and third best players on the floor right now. And they talked about this the whole broadcast. I'm not saying anything new here. Like, he's penetrating and then he's looking to pass. It's like, no, just keep penetrating. You know, the refs were calling fouls. Like, the Heat were getting foul calls.
He got to the line 12 times.
Yeah, you know. And,
or he took, excuse me, he took, like 12, he took 12 free throws. He didn't get to the line 12 times.
Yes, that would be six times. Yeah. But, you know, I would just like to see him just I get it. He had a great game, 25, 8, and 13. 7 of 17 shooting, 3 turnovers. You know, that's not very efficient basketball. I understand you're getting to the free throw line, you know, for 12 shots. But again, if you're going to win a game, you have to be perfect. And Jimmy Butler has to be the alpha. And 25 points is a great game. But when LeBron James scores 25 points, we're just like, meh, you know? It's just another night at the office for LeBron James. So in a situation where you're missing your other two biggest offensive threats, I feel like you need more from Jimmy Butler. And again, great game, but I just feel like he needs to assert himself even more and earlier too. Like, you need Jimmy Butler to be in the double digits and close to 20 points at halftime if you're going to win a game. It's just a fact of the matter. Unless you're going to get Duncan Robinson to finally hit some threes, which we just talked about. It's just – That's the only way I feel like Miami's going to win a game when they're missing both of those players.
Yeah, you're right. And the problem is, I talked about this last episode. I've talked about it on the other podcast I'm on. Like, I've done a complete 180 on Jimmy Butler, like, when he came to Miami. Mm-hmm. I bought into the Jimmy Butler's the problem everywhere else. Like, I bought into that. I didn't think it was – I've done a 180 on him. He is a great player. But I think we've learned, like, he just doesn't want to be the alpha as a scorer. He just mm-hmm. doesn't want that. And so if your guys – like, you lose Goron and Bam – I said coming into this game that I thought the Heat needed to take like 45 threes to win. Not, you know, because they're a great three-point shooting team during the regular season, good in the playoffs. I thought they had to speed up the game and take a ton of threes to be able to stick with the Heat. They got mm-hmm. to the line a ton, so it helped. But they only took 25 threes, I think, was the final number. I just don't think Jimmy's going to be the guy ever. That they took 27 threes. I don't think Jimmy's going to be the guy who goes out of his way to get 40. You know, it's just not what he does. So you got to figure out a way to get other guys going from deep and other guys. And he did get other guys involved. But yeah, I mean, 3 of 10 from three between Duncan and Tyler Hero. I mean, now for the series, they're like they've made 5 combined threes. Right, so
how do you get those guys more open shots? By Jimmy Butler getting in the paint and penetrating and scoring
being
baskets.
A threat.
And when he has two field goals made at halftime, the defense is not afraid. He's not going to collapse on Jimmy Butler when he penetrates because he's half the time he doesn't take the shot. So if I'm a defender against Jimmy Butler, I'm playing off of Jimmy Butler defending somebody else. Why am I going to collapse on Jimmy Butler when I know it's a 50-50 shot that he takes a shot or passes it out? You know, I'm not going to leave my man open because the scouting report should say Jimmy's looking to set everybody else up. So the only thing I can think of if you're going to play game 3 without Bam and Goran again is whatever they tried today didn't work. And I get it. Jimmy's not going to be that guy. But to me, that is the only way you win a game right now. It's the only way. Hmm. And you're still going to need 80 more points from the rest of the roster.
Sure.
But to me, when I'm looking at the box score and I see Kelly Olynyk has almost as many field goal attempts as Jimmy Butler, you're not going to win that game. You're not going to win that game. And say what you will about Jimmy Butler and he likes to set everybody else up. I get it. But there's only one way you're winning a game with help Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic, and it's Jimmy.
Yeah, he's got to take 25 shots, 30 shots, 25.
He has to be the aggressor, and he has to be the aggressor at the beginning of the game. He can't wait till the third or fourth quarter to start looking for his own shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2 for 7 at halftime. 2 for 7. Now, I get it. He had, I don't know what it was, to 12, 13 points. It's great, but you got to look for your shot more. You got to take more shots, in my opinion.
Yeah. I do think there's something to be said about the free throws, but you're right. Even let's just say the sixth time he goes to the line, that's 6 field goal attempts. That's still 23 shots. He still probably needs to take more shots than that for them to win.
You know, some of those are when you're in the bonus and Anthony Davis bumps them on the, you know, they're not all shot attempts.
Sure.
So,
yeah. No, he's, I've been preaching that almost the entire playoffs that because ultimately when you get deep in the playoffs, other than tonight, because neither team's defense was very good tonight, but generally speaking, defense is lock up. And your best players have to carry you and have to score for you to win. You look at the Lakers, right? I mean, Rondo's not going to get 16 every night, but they get 65 from LeBron and AD because, you know, and LeBron took 25 shots. Anthony Davis took 20 shots. LeBron took 25 shots. It didn't even seem like he took 25 shots, and he took 25 shots.
That's what I said. It was just such a mad game from LeBron, and he scored 33.
Jimmy's got to be – he does need to be more aggressive. I think Bam's going to play. So that doesn't mean mm-hmm. he doesn't need to be more – he still needs to shoot the ball more, and he needs to be more aggressive to score. I would love to see – you know what would be interesting? If they – when Bam comes back, if they go back to a bigger lineup with Myers Leonard or Bam, or Myers Leonard or Kelly. Kelly will probably continue to come off the bench. So maybe Myers Leonard and Bam at the four. And you could start the game with Jay Crowder on LeBron. And you can have Bam guarding AD. And you could try to play man. Because the problem right now is that when you play a man with Bam at the five, Jay Crowder is guarding AD. And that's just not going to do it. And maybe Bam is not going to get it done. But it's going to be better than anybody else on the team trying to guard AD.
By the way, what did I miss? Like, why did we only get 9 Myers Leonard minutes?
They said in the beginning.
What did I miss there?
Yeah, I agree, because they said at the beginning of the game too. Like Rachel Nichols said, he's going to ease him back in, and maybe it's because he hasn't played much. But like,
it's 7 points in 9 minutes.
Yeah, not only did he was he effective? I mean, he knocked down that first three that he took, and he's energetic and just a better defender all around than Kelly Olynyk. And having him in the middle of the zone, I think, would have been better. But also in the few possessions that he was in with Jimmy, the pick and roll was effective.
Right.
And they don't run that a ton, but they came down and ran quick pick and rolls with him and Jimmy Butler, and it looked pretty good. So maybe it's just he hasn't played a ton, so they're easing him back in. But yeah, 37 minutes for Kelly Olynyk is wild. You would have thought it would have been split a little bit more evenly.
Right. You know, and I'm looking at the box score and I watched the game. And the only thing I can think of is in 9 minutes, he had no rebounds, you know? But like, yeah. I don't know what I missed. I was looking forward to Myers Leonard starting tonight. I thought that would be the logical option. I thought that before the series, to be honest with you, because the Lakers are just going to kill you with their size. They have AD, they have Dwight. You might need to match that size. And I thought this before the start of the series. And, you know, is there a combination to be had in game three where we see Myers, Leonard, and Bam Adebayo start? Remember that they started the season like that,
right?
You know?
Yeah, before
they had
he got
a lot
hurt.
Of success in the beginning of the season with Myers playing 15 to 20 minutes, basically playing the first 6 to 8 minutes of the first quarter and then playing the first 6 to 8 minutes of the second half. But I don't know. Like to me, I thought that before the series, and I get it. Maybe Spoelstra maybe felt out more what the Lakers were doing, but you had to know that Dwight Howard was going to play a lot. You had obviously Anthony Davis, so your only answer to that was Bam Adebayo, who's a great center, but he's not a matchup for Anthony Davis. I'm sorry, like he's a 4-time All NBA defense, 5-time All NBA player, like.
Yeah, and I'll tell you I'll tell you this too. I mean, Myers only played 9 minutes, but I would imagine all 9 of those minutes were when Dwight was on the floor, and Dwight only had 2 rebounds.
Right.
You know, so he obviously makes an impact. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more athletic. Yeah, I would anticipate. And if you go Myers and Bam in that starting lineup, if you move Jay to the three, do you put Duncan Robinson on the bench?
Which is what we just talked about.
I mean, I don't know because I don't know. Do you go – because Jimmy's the point guard in that lineup right now. Like Jimmy's running the point. So do you bring Tyler Hero back off the bench or do you just say, hey, we need defense, so we're going to start Tyler at the two, Jimmy at the one?
Yeah, look, I don't know what the right answer is there, but – that to me, when you're trying to figure things out, makes sense.
Yeah.
You're at the point. Like, I remember there was one point in the 2011, or maybe it was the 2015 NBA. No, it was 2011 NBA Finals. I think, like, at some point, Spoelstra went to, like, Carlos Arroyo off the bench. And you're just like, yeah, hey, you're just trying anything at this point, right? You know, like.
I expected him to try more tonight. Like, I expected, like, so the zone, like, you asked if they got to go away from it. You know, in the second half, it was better. In the first half, the Lakers took 27 threes. The problem with the zone like that is, like, yes, the zone is intended to make teams shoot more and eliminate baskets around the bucket. But you can't just let an NBA team take 27 threes. You just and in the first half, there was no aggressiveness. There was no activity. It was literally just like they would get into the paint, they would collapse the paint with the zone, and then they were taking wide open threes. They made 9 threes in the first half. In the second half, they started dropping Iguodala or Jimmy, whoever it was, a little further into the paint. So the zone looked a little more like, instead of like their natural 2-3, it looked a little more like a 1-3-1. They only took 20 threes in the second half. They were 7 of 20. But then the offensive rebounding crushed the Heat. I do think if you choose to, if you even with the big lineup, if you put Myers Leonard in with Bam and Jay, and you go back to a natural 2-3 with your big lineup in the, on the back line instead of your guards on the back line, it can work. I don't think you go 48 minutes exclusive like they almost did in game two. But I think with Bam back, there is some combination of a more active version of the zone and a man just to switch things up. Because, they, you know, 124 points, that's tough. Like, that obviously is not going to work. But look, no Bam. So they're just going to have to give them different looks. The 2-3, the way they have it right now, just doesn't work.
I completely agree with you. Like, you can clearly remember the LeBron James three-pointer in the first half where he's gets the ball at the top of the key and nobody even makes an attempt to get in his face. It's like I think Mark Jackson called it basically a warm-up shot. Obviously, LeBron James drilled it, but you did see the Heat in that second half more active. You saw Udonis Haslem kind of lay into them in one of those breaks in the fourth quarter. The defense was a little bit more active, but the offensive rebounding, man, it absolutely killed you. And the thing about when I think about a lineup with Myers Leonard and Bam Adebayo is if Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis are starting the game, you know, Myers Leonard can pull Dwight Howard out of the paint defensively because Myers Leonard can knock down a three.
Those pick and rolls, like we talked about.
Yeah, he knocked down one today. So he can absolutely stretch the floor for you. And to me, that opens things up for Jimmy Butler to be more aggressive. Again, we're looking for ways. We need more from Duncan Robinson. We need more from Tyler Hero. We can say that all day long, but at the end of the day, Jimmy Butler is the max player, man, and he's got to be the alpha. I know it's not in his DNA. I know that he likes to assert the offense and get everybody else involved. But to me, the only way that they win a game is, you know, Jimmy Butler, man. It's Jimmy Butler getting 20, 22, 25 shots, and that too. But that also opens things up for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, think about it. If Jimmy Butler has 5 field goals in the first quarter instead of 2 field goals in the first half, what does that do? That collapses the defense. That gets more people paying attention. Maybe that brings LeBron out on him. Maybe that brings another defender out on Jimmy Butler. Because, I mean, like Jimmy Butler today, he posted up Alex Caruso and passed out of that. Like, come on.
It's so weird, dude. It's so weird when he does that.
What are you doing there?
He did that last series.
With Kemba Walker.
I don't know if I don't have a number on it, but it seemed like every time he had Kemba posted up, he passed out of it.
Right.
It's like, so weird.
Dude, back him down. Is he not confident in his game with his back to the basket? I don't know what that is.
No, because in the fourth quarter, he was posted up on JR, and he just went right at him and scored.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost like when he has a smaller guy on him, he's like, But we talked about this on my other podcast too, which is like, you get this sense from Jimmy that he has this thing in him where he wants to prove that he can win games without having to score 30. It's just like this weird mentality that he has where he refuses, like you said, he refuses to just continue to be aggressive.
I make this analogy, right? When you think about football and you think about teams that have won the Super Bowls, you know, there's your Tom Brady's, there's your Peyton Manning's. Yeah, there's your Brad Johnson, right? Like the Tampa Bay quarterback, 20 years.
Florida State.
Those guys are so few and far between. It's the same thing with winning a championship in the NBA. Every team that wins a championship, they have stars, and their star players play like stars.
Yeah.
You know, think of Dirk Nowitzki, obviously LeBron James, Steph Curry. Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, yeah. Historically, you have either one or two first ballot Hall of Famers on your team when you win a championship.
The last time you got the team effort championship was the 2004 Detroit Pistons.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 16 years ago. So unless the Miami Heat are the anomaly where they're trying to win a championship by being the all-team championship, you know, Jimmy Butler needs to assert himself more. And you know, I'm not trying to be rough on Jimmy Butler, but there's only one way they're winning this series right now, and it's if Jimmy Butler asserts himself offensively and then gets everybody else involved.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I've been preaching Jimmy to be more, and even in the crazy thing is they only lost three games on their way to the finals, and I still was preaching throughout the playoffs that he needed to be more aggressive to score the ball, because it just doesn't, like, I'm with you to a, it got to the point where I've been preaching the same thing to you. I had Jonathan Zaslow on the other podcast, and I said the same thing, where it's like, teams don't win championships without stars that can get you buckets, because the defense is so good in the playoffs. You just have to have that guy who can go get it, right? But now I've sort of been convinced, like, maybe the Heat can do it. But at this point, now down 2-0, he's got to take over, you would think, you know, or at least try to assert himself to take over to open things up for everyone else. I agree with you. I do think – I still do think, though, watching the second half, that – you can't, like, I'm not going into game three saying, oh, this series is over, because there were, I mean, the Heat scored 60 points in the second half, with no Bam and no Goron.
So they had 39 in the third quarter.
I know. Yeah. And they won the third quarter 36-31, and the Lakers had 9 second chance points in the third quarter. So you just eliminate a few of those points, and it's a totally different game in the fourth, and that's without Bam and Goron. Even just getting Bam back, you got to feel good about, look, it's one game at a time at this point. Obviously, it's cliche to say stuff like that, but, like, it really is. So you come out of this game, you win the second half, your offense was sort of got rolling in the second half. Now you can bring back Bam, and your defense and your rebounding might get better in game three. You got a shot. And then, look, then it's 2-1. This is – if we weren't in the bubble – I think also if we weren't in the bubble, people would be looking at this series totally different too, because these two games would have been in L.A. and now you'd be going to Miami, and everyone would be like, all right, look, they won their two home games. Now we get two home games.
I was the only person that thought about that. I'm like, hey, man, he just got to win some home games now.
Well, I mean, and it's weird, because you forget about – because of the bubble, you just forget, like – they did what they're supposed to do. The injuries suck, and the injuries make it such an uphill battle, and I think a lot of people just gave up because of the injuries, which is understandable. I mean, two of your three best players got hurt. But the Lakers, by all intents and purposes, like, they were probably going to win, you know, historically, they probably would win the first two. Now, this is the first time LeBron's ever gone up 2-0 in the finals in his career, so that's different. But, you know, the higher seed wins the two home games, and then you go back, and that's how these series work. So if you're the Heat, you also are probably looking at it that way. Like, okay, they took care of their business. Now we got to take care of, get Bam back, potentially get Goron back, and maybe, you know, you win game three, and then, look, anything's possible. It's still possible.
You just got to defend the home court, you know?
That's defend, protect his house. All right, I got one thing I want to throw at you before we wrap this up. I mentioned I had Zaslow on the other show, and I asked him about this, and I mentioned it last episode, and I want to see how you feel being in Miami, following the Heat. I want to know your thoughts on Kendrick Perkins. So, all of a sudden, in these playoffs, Kendrick Perkins becomes the number one Heat cheerleader. Every Heat fan loves Kendrick Perkins because of the way he's talking about the Heat throughout the playoffs. And everyone falls for this bandwagon Kendrick Perkins thing where he's just jumping on Dem goons, the whole thing. Now in the final, I mean, before the finals even started, he said the Heat have no chance. Every tweet he has tweeted since the finals started has been pro Lakers. I, for one, from the beginning was just like, how can you just adopt this Celtic who is clearly just a clickbait headline hot take artist as a Heat fan? But everyone, and even Zaslow was like, oh, no, I love it.
Well, I see where you're coming from. I will say this. He has been talking about the Heat on ESPN and on First Take and on Get Up and pointing them out as a team that could get to the NBA Finals for a long time. And you got to give him credit for that, because it's a team of I don't want to use the word misfits, but, you know, underdogs, I guess is the good word. And the city gets behind that because Heat culture and, you know, the Godfather and Eric Spoelstra and Dwayne Wade and all that stuff. And so, you know, look, Kendrick Perkins was an absolute thug when he was playing. But I, like, if I was taking any of his Miami Heat takes out of it, I have really enjoyed his basketball analysis on ESPN. Just for what it is. Like, if you take the name of Kendrick Perkins away and say, hey, is this like, he is 10 times better than Paul Pierce, first of all.
Well, that's, Paul Pierce is a bitter old man, for sure.
Right, right. And so I just appreciate the way that Kendrick Perkins, I'm going to use this, keeps it real. And a lot of times he's been right. And he said before the series that he'd have 0% chance of winning this series. And kind of looks right now, right? So, you know, I totally understand what you're saying. Because back in the day, I despised Kendrick Perkins. He was very annoying. But, you know, Kendrick Perkins was, you know, when I think of Udonis Haslem, like, I'm sure a lot of other teams thought Udonis Haslem 5 or 6 years ago was exactly the same way, because he was that annoying guy that gave you 4 points a game, 12 rebounds, 2 offensive charges drawn, and he smack-talked you all game long. Like, that's Udonis Haslem to a lot of other teams, but he also keeps it real. Like, Udonis Haslem is as real as it gets, and I feel like Kendrick Perkins does the same. So, like, I totally get what you're saying, but I've enjoyed Kendrick Perkins' analysis.
I think it's more the whole adopting him thing with the dem goons and all that. Because, like, I feel like if the roles were reversed and it was Udonis Haslem, like, gassing up the Celtics in the playoffs, Boston fans would not be like, yeah, UD's our guy now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, not our guy. I've enjoyed hearing him more on the radio down here. But, like, we've made shirts about his quotes. It's like,
exactly. That whole thing is just.
Yeah, I'm good. Like, I don't need a Kendrick Perkins shirt. I'm good.
For sure.
I think he's really good in terms of his basketball analysis. And because he gives you basketball analysis, but he also kind of dumbs it down sometimes so you understand it a little bit more if you're, like, the average person, the regular Joe. And then, you know, anybody who is pro-Heat, the Heat fan base loves. Anybody who doesn't align with Heat culture, you're dead to Heat fans. And I know that because speaking from experience.
Yeah.
You know, the entire playoffs, I've been tweeting exactly what we talked about today. Jimmy Butler's not aggressive. 2 field goals in the first half. And they're like, why do you hate Jimmy Butler? And I'm like, I don't. I want him to be the alpha. I want him to be the max player. You don't win a championship if your superstars aren't superstars. And, you know, yeah, 25 points is great, but when LeBron James was scoring 25 points against Dallas, you lost that series.
Right.
You know, LeBron James has to score 35 points and 10 rebounds and 12 assists for you to win a game.
Yep.
And so 25 points and 13 is great, but I'm going to keep saying it. You need more points from Jimmy Butler, man. You just do.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's listening. Last time I said this, it happened exactly. I said the Heat will win the next game if Jimmy Butler takes 20 shots. And it was in this after they lost to the Celtics in game. Mm-hmm. What was it? What were they up? 3-1. Then they lost.
So game 5?
After game 5, I said if he takes 20 shots, it was something like that. I don't remember.
Exactly. So what's your
the number?
What's your bold?
Well, I said they would win if he took 20 shots in the next game. He took exactly 20 shots. So I'll say if he takes 23 shots next game,
I like that number.
The Heat will win.
I was hoping you were going to say more than 20 because I still need more than 20 shots.
Yeah, well, we have talked pretty extensively of how he needs to take more than 20 shots. So I'm going to go with 23. If he takes 23 shots, Heat win next game. Zach, dude.
I'll double down on that one.
All right, awesome. This has been great. Tell the people where they can find you to follow
on
you.
On Twitter, it's at Duarte Party, D-U-A-R-T-E Party, because it's always a party. I'm on the radio in South Florida. Right now, just post games, Dolphins post games, Canes post games, but you can get all my hot takes on Twitter because that's where I keep it real. You know, I keep it real. And Heat Twitter, we have a rocky relationship, you know, but I'm a Heat fan through and through. And I just, you know, I'm not a Heat homer. I like to keep it real.
All right, dude. Well, I appreciate it. Great episode. And thanks for joining me and Heat Nation. See you Sunday night after game 3. Hopefully, we got our first dub.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.